surgeons. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Amen. Amen. So, guys, we're going to continue in our Unhindered series, our Unhindered Faith series. And I'm going to just go ahead and recap where we've been so far. Pastor has done an amazing job with this series. The first week, he talked about unhindered kingdom. And through that, he said, I am unhindered by my past. I am unhindered because of God's plan for me. I am unhindered because I have an assignment. And I am unhindered because of Christ. And we're lining things up to do the work God has called us to do and have the mindset that we won't be held back. Amen. And then he continued in the series with unhindered forgiveness. And in that, he reminded us that unhindered forgiveness is for everyone. Forgiveness is for me, it's for you, it's for everybody. And that we have a responsibility to forgive. And then he went on and reminded us that we can have unhindered power. How many of you want unhindered power? Amen. Unhindered power to share, unhindered power to do the impossible through God. Amen. And unhindered power to persevere. And then on last week, he talked about unhindered resources and how we have unhindered resources because of our relationship. We are, and he asked the question, are you using what you have? Amen. Are you using everything God has given you? And who are you sharing with? Amen. And this morning, we're going to continue in our series with unhindered worship. How many of you want unhindered worship? I know I want unhindered worship. I love to worship God, and I want my worship to be unhindered. So this morning, we're coming from Daniel chapter 3, verses 8 through 18, and I'm going to read those for you. It should also be on my screen. At this time, astrologers came forth and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "May the king live forever. Your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound from the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold. And that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve you, your gods, nor worship the image of gold you have set up." Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now when you hear the sound from the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all other kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into a blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hands. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." The word of God. Amen.
I cannot.
I will not worship that.
Bow your heads!
Seek your presence.
With all my heart, I follow you. I fear you. I seek your presence.
Bring them!
Oh, my friends. Your faith will be tested now.
Daniel! What's wrong with them? Why will your friends not bow to me?
I assure you, sire, they will serve you faithfully. All their lives, as I will, but...
But they will only worship God.
I will make them bow.
We seek your presence. With all our heart, we follow you. We seek your presence.
When we wish to bend something that is hard and unyielding, what do we do with it? We put it into the fire.
Majesty,
take him!
We hear you, and we seek your presence.
Burn them!
Majesty, no! Burn them!
What?
You!
Hey, bring oil! Come! Fire! Bring me fire!
Of the grave consumes me. Do not ignore my tears. I am overcome by sorrow. I call upon the name of the Lord. Lord, save me!
My enemies will be daunted. They will turn back in shame.
Why do they not burn?
People of Judah, rise! God is with us! He's with us! God is with us.
Amen. So when we think about unhindered worship, the first thing that I thought about is, what is the definition of unhindered, and what is the definition of worship? So I looked it up. And unhindered means able or allowed to happen or continue without being slowed, stopped, interfered with. Synonyms for unhindered is unhampered, unrestrained, or not obstructed. And then I looked up worship. Worship comes from two old English words, being worth, which means worth, and ship, which means like shape or quality. For example, in the word friendship or sportsmanship, that means you have the quality of being a good friend or the quality of being a good teammate. So worship is the quality of having worth or being worthy. When we worship, we are saying God is worthy. He has worth in our lives. Worship means we're declaring his worth to say that worshiping God also allows us to have confidence in him. So how many of us can think of reasons that God is worthy of our praise? If we just think about our lives, he's worthy of our praise. He's worthy because he woke us up this morning. He got us here. He kept our families. He kept our children. We have our being. We have the ability to move. We have the ability to be. And I just want to give God praise this morning just for that. So God, you're worthy. You're worthy of all our praise, God. You're worthy of all our honor. And we thank you, God, for that. But when talking about worship, Jesus says in John chapter 4:23, yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshiper the Father seeks. In talking about worship, God is basically saying that a true worship doesn't depend on your location, but the spirit in which you come to God with. So it doesn't matter where you are, but you're worshiping him in spirit and in truth. A true worshiper is saying that anything that's not like Jesus, I don't want to be a part of. I don't want to be a part of cheating. I don't want to be a part of lying. I don't want to be a part of stealing. I don't want to be a part of deceiving. I want to be a part of the good things of God, and I want to be a representative of him. So what you're saying is, God, I want you to manifest in my life because I'm going to worship you in spirit and in truth, and through that, God is glorified. Amen. So the Bible also says in Hebrews 13:15, through him, let us continue offer up the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of the lips and acknowledging his name. And then in Psalms 95:6, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker. So guys, there are three types of worship that we have. The first type is worship with the mouth, or the heart and the soul, because the Bible says that for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So this type of worship is what we often see in service. It's when we're raising our hands, we're saying hallelujah to Jesus. We're telling him how wonderful he is, how good he is, how worthy he is of our praise and our worship. It's the kind that we bow down, that we may shed a tear because we're thinking about the goodness of God and we're just exalting his name. We're speaking those things from our heart and from our soul, saying how good God is. That is one type of worship, and it's the type of worship that I love. I love you. You might see me over here. Sometimes I'm praising. Sometimes I'm crying. Sometimes I'm just thanking God and speaking things to him and just saying, thank you, Father, for all that you have done for me and my life. And I'm just so appreciative that I can't help but stand up and praise the Lord. I can't help but bow down and say, thank you, Father, because we know that he didn't have to do it, but he does it anyway. Amen. He didn't have to, but he does it anyway, and I'm just so thankful for that. So I can't help but say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. I love you. I appreciate you. I adore you, God. You are awesome. You are mighty. Amen. That is one type of worship. Another type of worship that we have is with our mind. With our mind, it's listening to God. It's listening for instruction. When your quiet time and you're saying, God, what would you have me to do? And you stop and you listen to receive instruction. This pretty much says, God, I submit to your will and I'm willing to do whatever it is you would have me to do. I'm in submission to you and I'm waiting on your instruction. And the last type of worship is with your body, right? Your body. This is important. Because not only am I going to praise him with my mouth, not only am I going to listen for instruction, I'm actually going to do it. I'm going to carry out the thing that God has told me to do. So in my quiet time, I'm worshiping God. He gives me instruction. I thank him for that instruction. But then I'm going to step out and do what God has told me to do. Sometimes it's not easy to do what God has told you to do. Listen, sometimes you just want to say, not right now, God. I'm good right here. Can I just praise you right? I thank you, God, but can I just praise you right here? But no, God is calling us to step out and follow his instruction. That is a way of worship. That is the worship that God is talking about. He's not just talking about worshiping with your mouth, because we need all three types of worship. Some people primarily speak and sing praises, and they're like, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah, amen. But if we just praise God with our mouths without ever listening, do we really believe what we're saying? Are we really saying that God is all-knowing and all-powerful and all-loving and he knows what's best for me? He knows what's best for me, so I'm going to do what God tells me to do. And then if we just listen but never do, how many of us know the phrase, action speaks? Exactly. Action speaks louder than words. So even if you just you praise and you listen, then you got to do the thing. Sometimes it's hard to do the thing, right? Sometimes you don't feel like doing the thing. Sometimes you're like, Lord, I was just fine sitting right there. I don't want to be a... No, but sometimes it's hard to do the thing that God is telling you to do. But we trust him, right? We believe that he knows what's best for us, right? So we're going to carry that thing out because God knows better than we do. Worship should change our behavior. It should change our behavior. If we're praising God, if we're listening to God and we're doing what God, we should look different. We should walk different. We should talk different. It should be bigger than Sunday. It's not just raising of your hands. It's the way that you live. Your life is worship. The way that you live your life is a testimony to God. And when you worship, God's power can be released through you. That's how healing takes place. That's how being set free and deliverance takes place, is when you're worshiping God with your mind, body, and spirit. You're able to release God's power into the world through you. You're able to be used by God, amen, because you're in full submission to him. Now, that all sounds great, right? We worship God in mind, body, and spirit, but there are some things that sometimes hinder our worship. That's just real. It's not always easy to just get past the things of life that hinder our worship. And I can sum up things that hinder our worship in two categories. The first being culture, and the second being circumstance. Amen. So let's talk about that. So culture, the Hebrew boys, right? We just saw the film. Guys, when I saw that and everybody bowed down and the three was just standing, I was like, I would probably be like, because, I mean, you are clearly there, right? You're out there. The culture of that day was to listen to the king. The culture of that day was to praise the gods that he put before you. And if you didn't, you would be punished to death, unto death. Amen. So that was the culture of that time. The culture of that time was you do what you're told by the king. You worship the gods, the idols, whatever. You follow the laws that he puts in place. But the Hebrew boys was countercultural, right? They decided that even though this is the culture of the day, I can't do what you're asking me to do. Like Daniel said to the king, I'll serve you, but I can't praise nobody but God. Amen. How many of us could take that stance? Because listen, that thing is hard, right? That was a hard thing to do, but praise God. Their obedience was a testimony to all the people that were there. Did you see how it changed the crowd? They were astonished. Look at their God and how they were kept. Amen. So in today's culture, today's society, we've kind of removed God from our lives, right? And out in culture, you know, 2023, God is not a big priority in the lives of this culture, right? We've placed other things in that position. We've put, you know, celebrities, we've put sports teams, you know, in those categories, because those are things that we celebrate and those are things that we like to see. But in today's society, think about it. If I were to ask, what is your purpose in life? If you were to just go out in the world and ask, what's your purpose in life? Some of the answers you would get is to be happy, to be successful, to have a career, to start a family, right? To build generational wealth, to leave something for my children, to be a good example, to be a good person. That's my purpose. But I want to challenge you a little bit this morning and say your greatest purpose is to worship God. That's what you were created to do. You were created to worship God. And that is the biggest purpose in your life. And even among some Christians, guys, even among some Christians, of course not anybody in here, but we're going to say, let's say Bob, right? Bob is a Christian. And Bob is, you can put the first. Yes, this is Bob. Bob is in the middle. God is orbiting around God. Bob is like, thank you, Jesus. You cover me, right? But God is serving Bob in this position, right? He's serving Bob. This is how some folks see it. It's Bob's life, right? So it's about Bob's desires, Bob's happiness, and Bob's way. God knows Bob's heart. He a good person. He do good things. He prays to God. He praises. He worships. But Bob is concerned with Bob and what he has for his life, not what God has for his life. And sometimes we can get stuck like this. I mean, we're good. We come to church. You know, we pray, we give him some praise, but we have desires, we have wants, and we feel like it's our life. We get to do what we want with our life because that's what culture says. Culture says, be happy, do what you want to do with your life. It's about you. But this is how we should be, guys, this second picture. So the second picture, God is at the center. Bob is serving God. Look at that. And Bob is saying, God's will for my life, his desires, his wants. I'm pleasing him. He's saying his way. I'm completely obedient to God because I know God knows best. And this is how we should live our lives. We should live our lives with Jesus at the center. Israel Houlton has a song, Jesus at the Center. We sometimes move God out the center. We're like, God, go over here. We're going to get to you on Sundays. We're going to get to you before, now I lay me down to sleep. We're going to get to you before food, but I got things. I got stuff, right? But in Romans 12, chapter 2, it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve that God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. But I like the Message version. I like reading the Message version sometimes. And it says, do not become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you always dragging you down to its level of immorality, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Amen. So what it's saying is, guys, we need to stand firm. And as Jesus followers, we need to be different. We need to be countercultural. Amen. Because we are to be the light in the world. So the enemy would have your focus moved from God and put on other things. But think about if we gave all that attention to God, all the attention to God that we gave other things, how much more could our lives be effective? How much more could God use us? How much more would we not have worry? How much more would we be less stressed out trying to do it on our own? Amen. We need to put our focus back to God. But then there's circumstances. There are circumstances in life that can hinder our worship. The first being our priorities. And I talked a little bit about that when we were talking about Bob. But our priorities says, I have a plan. I have a 5-year plan. I have a 7-year plan. I got to do this, this, and this, and I'm working towards those goals. Jesus, help me. Help me with my plan, God. Pray. I'm praying like, Lord, help my plan come. Help me move through my plan quickly, right? That can sometimes get in the way of our worship. But Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be given to you as well. Amen. And then the second circumstance that can get in the way is fear. Ooh, fear. I'm frozen. I'm worried about what might happen. And my focus is on solving my problems and doing things the way I need to do them. And God knows. God knows what's going on. I have this thing. Somebody's sick. I have bills to pay. My child is acting up. My husband's getting on my nerves. My job, my boss at my job is stressing me out, and I don't know if I'm going to lose it. So I have to focus on that. And I'm not focused on God. I'm focused on that. Because in that time, it's everything. It's everything. It's my life, God. I mean, you know, I have to have this job to pay these bills and take care of these kids. So you know my heart, God, but help me be, you know, with this. But I'm not worshiping God through that. I'm just focused on my fear. I'm focused on my fear. But in 2 Timothy 1:7, the Bible says, for God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. A sound mind. How many of you know when you're fearing, when you're worrying, your mind is all over the place? You can't sleep at night. You're staying up. You're worried. But that wasn't God's intention for your life. Amen. And then next, another circumstance is our environment. Our environment can dictate whether we worship or not. Instead of shaping the atmosphere of worship wherever we are, sometimes we can say, that wasn't the right song that the praise and worship team was singing. I don't know that, so I can't worship right now. Like, I got to wait for my jam to come on, then I can stand up and worship. Or maybe the sermon is not for you. And you're like, you know, that's okay, but I can't worship this morning. Or maybe you're like the Hebrew boys where the environment wasn't conducive to worship, but did you see them worshiping God in the midst of being put in the furnace? Listen, when things happen in your life, is that you? Are you worshiping while you're being put in the fire, while someone's pushing you and set? Are you worshiping God in that environment? Or are you focused on other things? It's hard, right? Because when you're going through, all you can see is what you're going through. But that's not, again, God's intention. Another thing that can hinder our worship is shame. Shame can hinder our worship because of what I've done. I'm unworthy. I'm too far from God. I haven't talked to him in a while. He's not concerned about me. I've done too wrong. I haven't been in communication with him. What I've done was too bad. I can't come back from that. I might as well just live the way I'm living. But the Bible says in Romans 8:1, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. There is no condemnation. And then I also love the scripture, Romans 8:38-39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate me from the love of my God. Because God loves me anyway. Amen. So, and finally, and we're going to dig a little bit into these a little bit more, but finally, the thing that can hinder our worship is disappointment with God. This is real. It's, you know, God didn't do what I asked him to do. And I'm mad. I'm mad. It didn't work. It didn't work, Pastor. I prayed. I fasted. And it didn't work. And so I gave it a good go. But I don't know how worshiping God benefits me. I don't know what it's doing for my life. And I'm mad about it. So let's talk about how you overcome these circumstances. And then I'm going to get out your way, as Pastor would say. So when life goals get in your way or priorities get in your way, remember that God has a plan for you and mine. How many of you can be a witness to this? You had a job that you wanted so bad, a house that you wanted so bad, a man or a woman that you wanted so bad, but God said no, and then turned around and gave you something better than you could ever ask, think, or imagine. Sometimes God knows it's for your own good. So when you have that plan for your life, sometimes God say, no, no, daughter. No, son, that's not for you. I have something better for you. And you're so thankful that God did that thing because you couldn't see past your wants and your desires and your goals. All you knew is that I wanted to do this thing, and then God just turned it around. So just remember those times when God has been a blessing to you, and turn and close those doors and turn those things around in your life. And then it was for your good because God knows what's best. And when fear gets in the way, remember God's track record in your life. Has he ever left you? Has he ever forsaken you? Has he sent someone to encourage you when you're down? You know that person that just comes up and they don't know your circumstance, but they just happen to just come and give you a word of encouragement. God sends people on assignment to be a blessing to your life when you're going through, when you're fearful about something. All you have to do is trust him and believe him. And when you pray for God to remove that fear, let him remove it. Then it's up to you, that action. When he gives you the instruction to take that step, take that step. Amen? Because you standing still is not what God has for you, and you don't know what God has for you on the other side of that yes. Amen. So when environment gets in the way of your worship, remember that God is not concerned about your location and your praises unto him. Is he worthy of the praise? Is he worthy of the honor? Do you love him? Listen, guys, I've had some of the best praise and worship sessions ever in my car. Listen, I could be driving down the street and something just speaks to my spirit and I just begin to worship God and people pull up next to me and probably think something wrong with me. But it's all right because in that moment, God is the most important thing to me. And I just want to worship him and give him all the glory, honor, and praise. It doesn't matter the environment. It's always the environment for praise. So if you are ever wondering, it's always the environment for praise. I remember a time, it's a little story. I remember the morning after our wedding. I think Pastor has told this story before, but the morning after our wedding, y'all, we went to spend a night at, the Hilton in Fort Washington. You know the one right off of 309? The one that floods, that we ain't know it flood? So we're in the bridal suite, right? We just got married. We're blissful and happy. We're laying there talking about how wonderful the day was. And water starts flowing in the air conditioner. It starts coming into the room like Titanic, like it's coming in. It's coming. We're on the first floor. It's coming in. And we're like, oh, my gosh, what is happening? I'm getting bangs on the door like, get out. It's flooding. So it was like a whole crazy thing, right? So we're in the parking. We go out. We throw on a dress. I'm putting my wedding dress over my head because I don't want it to get wet, you know. And we're running out. We run outside, and there's like a little boy who gets swept into the undercurrent. And, like, there's a whole chain of people trying to rescue him from the drain because It was only about 3 to 4 feet of water, but the little boy had to be 3 or 4. He just got sucked into the undercurrent. So they're like, it's like a human chain. It's raining slightly. And when I tell you, God told me in that moment, praise me. Praise me. So literally, pastor, my father, they're a part of the human chain trying to rescue this little boy. It's raining. I got my dress over my head. My hair is getting wet. It's just a mess. And God said to me in that moment, praise me. So I begin to praise God in that moment. I had my dress over my, thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you that this little boy will be saved in the name of Jesus. We thank you that you had these people here, Lord, that would allow them to grab him, Lord. Help the chain stay strong, Lord. Help the train not break, Lord. Help this be a testimony to everyone who sees how good and how powerful you are. And do you know what happened? That little boy was saved. They were so amazed. They pulled him out. It was like a whole thing. And Pastor looked at me like, what's going on? I was like, I'm praising God. In that moment, it was like a movie. I'm telling you guys, it was amazing. But just understand that any environment can be an environment of praise because God is always looking for that. And like I said, in that moment, God's power was released. Because I worshiped with my mouth, I worship with my mind by listening to instruction, and I worship with my body by doing what he asked me to do. And God saved that little boy. Yeah. Amen. So that is, I just want to encourage you in that moment that anytime is an environment for praise. So then what happens when shame gets in the way? You have to ask yourself, have you forgiven yourself for that thing? Because God has forgiven you. Once you confess, you are redeemed. God sent his son to redeem us. What does redeem mean? Redeem means that we are forgiven. We are forgiven for all of our sins and transgressions. And once you confess with your mouth that thing to God, God, you are forgiven immediately. So you're walking around holding on to that shame and holding on to that thing. And God said, I forgave you a year ago. Don't let that keep you from me. Amen. Don't let that keep you from me. I need you guys to say, I need you guys to say this with me. Close your eyes and say, I am forgiven. I am forgiven. And God loves me. Yes, I am forgiven. That is so freeing. I am forgiven from everything because like the word said, nothing can separate me from God's love. Nothing, nothing that I can do can separate me from God's love, and that is a blessing. And then finally, when your disappointment with God hinders your worship, you have to ask yourself, have you been disappointed with God? When have you been disappointed with God? Have you dealt with that? Have you asked him why, or have you just given him the silent treatment? I guarantee that God is waiting for you to come to him and talk to him. Ask him the why. Ask him why. Like, why, God? I have one more story. Some of you know that my father passed a few years ago. And I'm being obedient, but forgive my tears. I was a daddy's girl, a daddy's girl. And my father went from working a full-time job to gone in 3 months. And it was so interesting because I was the pastor's wife, right? And when he was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer out of nowhere, no symptoms before. It was bile duct cancer, like I've never heard of that. So, okay, Jesus. When he was diagnosed, I said, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. And in the name of Jesus, my father will be healed, and this will be a testimony. So every time we went to the doctors, they would say, you know, he's too far gone for chemo. Or, you know, it's only going to be maybe 60 days. I rebuked them. I said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. The God that I serve is able to heal, and he has the final say. So I prayed and I prayed and I fasted and I took care of my father. And I'm like, you know, people in my family have been diagnosed with cancer before. But they, you know, they live 5 years, 7 years, 10 years. So when they said 60 days, I was like, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And I believed. I believed that thing. I believed that my fasting and my praying would be a testimony. And when it happened, I was mad. I was like, I almost couldn't believe it. Like, even though the doctors and nurses had been saying it, I'm like, what? What do you mean? They're like, you haven't prepared yourself for this? No, because I believed in God that he was going to save my father, right? And I was mad, guys. I was so angry, and I couldn't understand. And it took a little while, but I got it. Not only was what we went through not for us, it was for somebody else, right? Because since then, I've been able to help people with this process. And sometimes, and God assured me that his life was intended for that. Sometimes we don't know what God's intention for something is. We put our own desires, our own wishes, our own wants, our own needs on a thing. And God is like, I never told you that's what that was for. It was for something bigger. It was for something greater. My father was in pain. It was selfish for me to want him to stay. He was in pain every day, taking 10, 12 pills every day. But I was like, but Jesus, you ain't gonna let him stay here? But his life was for something greater. And even my father said that. So I had the conversation with God. It took me like a week. Because at first I was like, I'm not talking to him. I don't know what happened. I thought we were here. I was praying. I thought you was listening, but apparently not. I was mad. But after a week, I said, why, God? You saw me. You saw me praying. You saw me fasting. You saw me believing even when everybody else around me was like, prepare yourself. I was like, I'm preparing for a miracle. And those miracles can happen. And it didn't shake my faith in God. I was just mad. But I had to have that conversation with him and say, why? And he had to let me know the reasons. And what that did since that time, and having the ability to speak with people going through, having the ability to minister people who lost loved ones, having the ability to talk about cancer, and having the ability to do the things that I've been able to do since then has been a blessing to my life. And I didn't know at the time. So when you're disappointed with God, have the conversation with him, because it will free you. It will free you. And God is big enough to know and to listen to his child. Amen. So that's unhindered worship. That's how your worship can be unhindered. I know it was a lot. But what I want to do now is, God told me this week as I was preparing, that to have an altar call. Because there are people in different spaces of this sermon. Some of you may be concerned, or some of you may be in a space where your priorities are hindering your worship. When I say hindering your worship, I'm talking about worship of the body, of listening and doing what God says, because you're concerned about doing what you need to do for your goals. Some of you may be in a situation where fear is hindering your worship. You're so focused on the problem that you can't focus on Jesus. Some of you may be in a place where environment is your problem. Home is crazy, it's stressful. Work is crazy, it's stressful. I don't have space in my life where it's calm enough, where I can light my candle and I can get into a position. But even in the midst of everything, God is saying, worship me. Some of you are in a space where shame is the issue that's hindering your worship. You've been far from God. You haven't been close to him. Something, you feel unworthy. And then some of you may be in the space where you're disappointed with God. And you mad. And you're like, I don't know if I want to do all that. I'm good with clapping my hands and, but I don't trust him because he disappointed me. So if any of those things are you, and I'm going to ask Pastor to come up, because not only is the altar call for that, but we always close out each sermon series with the altar call. So we talked about in this series having an unhindered kingdom, unhindered forgiveness, unhindered power, and unhindered resources. And unhindered worship. So we want to open the altar for prayer. Pastor and I will come and pray with you and for you. Amen. As the band plays, we just want to open this moment. Because guys, we want to get delivered. We want to be healed. We don't want any of these hindrances in our lives. We want our power unhindered, our worship unhindered, our forgiveness unhindered, the kingdom of God unhindered. And we want our faith set free. Amen.
So the altar is open, and we're going to just do an altar call for everybody. So this front row, we're just inviting you, and you know who you are, who need to come down. This is not a place of putting on blast. This is just a place of, listen, I know I need to be down here. I know I need to be in a place where I'm unhindered in my worship, unhindered with power, unhindered with my resources. This is how we want to end off this sermonic series. So we'll keep the altar open. And listen, I feel the tug this morning that there's a want, but there's a concern. We're still going to pray. We're still going to cover you in prayer where you are. We're just asking you to take a leap of faith and come on down this morning to the altar. And as you come in, let's bless God for our worship, for our sermon this morning, unhindered worship. Oh, come on, we can do better than that. And as you're clapping, why don't you come? I know there's some. Give a little bit more time, And if you don't come down, I just challenge you, to everybody, to stand right where you are. Let's stand, at least with agreement on what is being preached and what we're going to pray over us. Let's stand. We got a couple of folks. Come on. Amen. Let's stand. Let us pray. God, in the name of Jesus, we love you and we thank you. God, we confess this morning that there's not a lack of love from us. But God, we've been tethered by some things that have stopped us from giving you our everything. God, sometimes it's been fear. Sometimes it's been circumstances. Sometimes it's been environment. God, sometimes it's been disappointment. Sometimes it's been shame. But God, in the name of Jesus, today we are not letting anything stop us from drawing near to you. Lord, we want to worship you not just with our mouths, but with our mind and with our actions. So today, Holy Spirit, we release you onto everyone who is in this place. Fill them mightily so that their worship is unhindered. Fill them mightily so that their resources can be tapped into. Fill them mightily, oh God, so that they can have your power. Fill them mightily, oh God, so that they are your kingdom. No longer living beneath the calling that you have for their life. Right now, God, you have someone who you are assigning to walk upright and no longer have themselves hunched over. Right now, you have an assignment for someone to love someone who they have been told themselves, I can't love them because of what happened. Right now, you have an assignment on someone to walk into their destiny. They've been afraid and afraid and afraid. But today, God, an unhindered child of yours will get up from this altar or sit down in their seat knowing that moving forward, nothing is holding me back from what God has for me. That is to serve, God, I'll serve. That is to love, God, I'll love. That is to forgive, God, I'll forgive others and myself. So God, right now we just stand in agreement with you, with your will for our lives. We bless your name, oh God, and we give you all the praise, honor, and glory. It is in the name of Jesus the Christ that we pray. All God's children, say amen, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. One more time, one more time, one more time. For unhindered, unhindered, unhindered worship.